And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show. Goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Lord, the text message, I tell you what, let me get a few more of these real quick. Dustin from Hazel Green says, I think it's three texts in a row. What's the latest or closest to a general election that a primary candidate's ever been swapped or dropped out running for presidency? I don't know the answer to that question. He said, I still say they run Kamala to burn her political career and any 2028 ambitions using campaign money to strengthen up the high-risk seats. Maybe so. If he were not to run but also resign, it also allows Kamala to then become the 46th POTUS, if only for mere months. See, that's where I think you're spot on there, Dustin. I see that as being the way they go about it. They give her an opportunity to have the incumbency. And then what I'm praying they don't do is create a crisis for her to solve in the next 90 days. You know what I'm saying? But at the very least, I think he's going to be off. Jenny says, what is Project 2025? I'm going to get into that. I had a whole dipper on that yesterday, didn't get to it, but I'm hoping to get to it later in the week. That is a list of the conservative policy points that the Heritage Foundation and other think groups like the Alabama Policy Institute have put together that they would hope the Trump administration would follow through on. It's really not scary. John from Harvest says, Phil, as a fellow grandpa, I love your monologue. Did you see where Obama called for Biden to drop out? Did he actually make an open call? Hang on a second. I'm going to go look at the news. Did he make an open call? Obama reportedly tells allies that Biden needs to reconsider. Okay, so it's a report right now, but it's not a confirmed. Anyway, he says, so the party that keeps saying they're saving democracy would not allow a challenger to Biden during the primaries, who covered up his dementia the whole time. They're now telling primary voters their vote doesn't count. That about sums it up, John. You got it. Thanks very much. You're spot on. John C. from Madison says his family wants him to stay in office because it's a cash cow for them. Hunter wants him to stay in to protect him. I don't think you're wrong, man. Regarding the monologue, Frank from Huntsville says, dang, Phil, you need to speak at the convention. Great monologue. Thank you, brother. Wow. Raven from Russellville says, great monologue, Colonel. Been a while, so I'll just say rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. What you said about the Afghan people made me think back to the Nungs and the Montagnard people, fine folks and gritty fighters. That was in Vietnam. My respect and sincere thanks for your service to our country. I'm always your friend. Raven, thank you very much, man. And Cameron from O'Reilly says something about, okay, going, anyway, we'll check it out. Thank you. It's a website, so I appreciate that. All right, and listen, let me jump on in. Jeff from Indiana, what do you say? Phil, when you were over there in Afghanistan, did you ever have anyone betray you that had gained your trust? Yes. Actually, an American on my team, but that's another story. All right, let's jump on in here. We're going to do something different. This one's going to be a bit different. Last night at the Republican National Convention, the focus was largely on military and foreign policy and what kind of commander-in-chief we want and how do we want to be known as on the world stage. And I watched speech after speech, and I thought, oh, my word, so spot on. And it's what inspired me to do the monologue that I did a moment ago, Strength and Honor. So I decided I was just going to call the first dipper the same thing, Strength and Honor. There were a series of speeches last night that just, man, it just gave me what I needed. You know what I'm saying? The kind of thing that says, yeah, we're still here. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we can do this. It was a mix. It was veterans. It was Gold Star mothers. It was, you know, people who have been there and done that, talking about what they want to see and what they hope for. It was sharing their concerns, but it was also telling us why we are not those concerns, that those concerns are for a moment. They are not for who we are in general. And it was worth just kind of breaking it down. Now, the first one I'm going to play for you, Big Rig, give me a thumbs up on audio one when you're ready for it, clip one. This first clip, so here's what I'm going to do. I've got a series of sound bites from last night. I got a series of sound bites from last night that are just so good. We're going to play them. By the way, this is the one that starts on 3:30. You good? Or 3:07. You got it? Okay. This first one, though, Man, listen, if you haven't seen it, you almost have to see him to appreciate. A 98-year-old World War II veteran named Bill Peckrell. Bill Peckrell. He's from Milwaukee. And they got him up there and he spoke. It was epic. Bill Peckrell. He's been married for 76 years to his beautiful wife, Rosemary. He's the father of 11 kids, 6 girls, 5 boys, he said. He's also a World War II veteran who went ashore in the second wave at Normandy, fought with the 29th Infantry Division, later switched to the 75th Infantry Division, worked his way through the war, Silver Star, 2 Bronze Stars, and a Purple Heart. Bill Peckrell just defined for us why we should take heart, because who we were in that generation is who he says we are still to this day. We just need to shake off some malaise. Go ahead and play it.
A lot of my friends on that beach, and there were many of us left. There aren't many of us left today. But for us, those who of us who are here, that America is still worth fighting for.
Just let it keep playing, all right? But he brought the house down, man. He brought the house down over and over.
It hurts my heart to see what our current president and vice president have done to the country I love so well. They humiliated us in Afghanistan. We pushed around in China. Terrorists run wild in the Middle East. And they let our own southern border get overrun. America, people say, America is an idea. But I believe America is much more than that. America is our home.
America's our home. Absolutely. Defend this house is what he's saying. Don't take for granted that we're just a thought or a notion. We're more than a policy. Absolutely. And then he keeps going. I mean, the crowd's going crazy. And he's just, if you can see his face right now, it's just cool. Half of America's ready to adopt him right now. Go ahead, keep playing.
You know, and I was fighting in Europe, and I came back home. I kissed the ground, thanking God that I'm back home in my country. And where I come from, when somebody comes for me, or my home, you dig in your boots in the ground and never look back. That's the attitude that saved the free world and those years ago. And President Trump, back in Commander-in-Chief, I would go back to re-enlist today.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's awesome.
And I would storm whatever beach my country needs me to.
There you go.
Fight again. God bless you. God bless our home and the United States of America.
That is Bill Peckrell. That is Bill Peckrell, World War II veteran, Silver Star, 2 Bronze Stars, Purple Heart. And listen, he's 98 years old. I mean, the guy's pushing a century mark, right? And just so you know, I think he looked more game on than Biden does.
Yeah. He was happy.
He was enjoying himself.
Yeah.
I don't think he expected to enjoy himself. I think he looked nervous at first, as the crowd just embraced him.
That first response from the crowd, then he started to smile.
Yeah, he was loosened up there, wasn't he?
Yeah, sweet old man.
Yeah. Sweet old man, but he's an old warrior,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah. But here's the thing, y'all. That's strength and honor. 98 years old. And you know, none of us expects him to reenlist. I get it. But the very idea that at 98 years old, he stands up there and says, what we did, they say we were the greatest generation. Okay. But then he said that was an honor. He said it was an honor to be considered the greatest generation because he also knows that it's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. That was earlier in the comments that I didn't play. To be called a part of the greatest generation of what he calls the greatest nation on the face of the earth, he said, was a true honor. But he went on to do honor to others. And he stood up there with strength of character, strength in his physical self. He's 98 years old. You can tell he's older and frail. You can hear his voice. He was struggling to get some of his words out, but he stood the entire time in front of a crowd of people. And he talked about strength and honor and being part of a generation that was willing to do it. But then he said at the same time that if President Trump becomes commander-in-chief again, he'd be willing to reenlist and storm any beach, he said. Now, listen, that may be an attitude, but that's some moxie right there. That's some stuff. That's the heat. But that's strength and honor. It's that kind of attitude we're going to have more of. Absolutely have more of. All right, I got more of that kind of stuff. This is going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy this. Let's go ahead and take a break, Big Rig. We'll take the break right now. First break of the day. We'll come right back. And I got one that's going to rock your socks here in a moment. If you haven't heard, Staff Sergeant David Bellavia, Medal of Honor winner. Oh, brace yourselves. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Got a text from Ken from Harvest. He says, even in his prime, if he ever had one, Joe Biden could not give a speech as inspirational as Sergeant Bill Peckrell. God bless Sergeant Peckrell. Ken from Harvest, spot on, brother. All right, we're going to another one. And this one may wind up coming like part before the break and part after the break because top of the hour, I always have less time to work with after this mid-cycle break there. But you may recall, and I've played him on the air before, Staff Sergeant David Bellavia from New York, Medal of Honor winner, Fallujah. He cleared an entire building full of bad guys to save his own men. Trump hung the Medal of Honor around his neck. And he gave a speech soon after his Medal of Honor award ceremony. And that's the one, if you remember, where he said, if you mess with the United States of America, so help me God, somebody else will raise your children. It was a speech that just made me want to rejoin myself. It was epic. Well, not to be outdone by his own self, you know, a few years ago, Staff Sergeant David Bellavia came back and spoke at the Republican National Convention last night. This is going to be audio clip number two, bud. I tell you what, let's do. Let's start it, and I may have to stop it depending upon timing and finish it up afterwards. But Staff Sergeant David Bellavia at the RNC, hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Medal of Honor recipient David Bellavia.
Thank you. In 2019, President Donald Trump awarded me the Medal of Honor for my service in Fallujah during the Iraq War. Thank you. Today, I speak across the country on behalf of our military services, and I ask parents, I look them right in the eye, like I'm looking at you, and I ask them, will you give America your sons and daughters to serve in the greatest force for good this world has ever seen, the United States military? I tell them what I learned when I was in combat. Your sons and daughters will be loved. They'll be our family. And that bond, that commitment, is for a lifetime. Their response? Well, it's changed in the last couple of years. Now they say, what about the 13 heroes we lost at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan? Now they say, what about the desperate civilians falling off the transport airplanes? Now they ask, what about the American citizens we left behind for the enemy? They say to me, under Biden Harris, we don't believe you. They no longer see their sacrifice as worthwhile, that their service makes us all better off. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
No.
I'll tell you what, we're all gonna answer that question in November. Here's something for you. Let's ask it the other way around. Let's ask, are our enemies better off than they were 4 years ago? Iran and its proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, China, Russia. Well, Iran is richer, Russia is bigger, and China is stronger. And their unchecked aggression proves that the answer is a resounding yes. The Biden-Harris foreign policy undermines American security, and watching their administration lose the gains President Donald Trump made overseas not only destroys our morale, it empowers our enemies abroad.
That's a great place to stop. I mean, listen, he's laying it on thick, but he's laying it on right. I mean, if anybody has the bona fides to speak to this, it's him. A most recent Medal of Honor winner who served through multiple administrations, who his gig now is to go around and encourage people and to speak to them about the military service. And he's saying right now he is seeing a trend away from people who are willing to encourage their own sons and daughters to join in what he called the greatest force for good ever built in the history of the world. I believe the rank and file is still solid. It is. The problem is the rank and file has gotten smaller because fewer want to join. And, oh, by the way, because the rank and file is literally sometimes being encouraged not to join. And that's from the top, not from the bottom. You know what I'm saying? That's because of what's happening at the National Command Authority level, not because we don't have people who are capable. The U.S. military is a small microcosm, percentage-wise, of our population. We have enough people. It may be different times. There may be different mores and societal norms, you know, whatever. But there's still enough capable people out there to do it. The question is, why aren't they showing up for the gig? And at his point, it's because the Biden administration has more empowered our enemies than empowered our own people. That's a problem. But when we come back, he gives us more of the message. And oh, y'all, it's worth hearing. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Strength and honor. We'll be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two. And I'm in this first dipper. I'm calling it Strength and Honor. And I am literally keying in on things that inspired last night. And I'm going to tell you, I think that whoever put together the RNC and the idea of, you know, certain nights having themes and all that, they hit the mark last night. They did. They hit the mark last night. So right before the break, I was playing you an audio track from Staff Sergeant David Bellavia. Bellavia got his Medal of Honor in 2019 for his 2004 service in Fallujah. He saved members of his entire platoon by clearing an enemy-filled house by himself to get them all to safety. The guy's the heat, but he gives a speech like nobody else. I mean, he gives a speech. He just lays it on out there. He just before, with the break, I played some of his thoughts. And I'm in this mode right now. I call it Strength and Honor. He gave his thoughts on the fact that he speaks around the nation about what he calls the honor of being a part of the greatest force for good ever put together in the history of the world, the U.S. military. And I believe that. That being said, he also said that more and more he is finding fewer parents that are excited about the idea of sending their sons and daughters to be a part of it, because they look at what happened in Afghanistan and they do not see a command authority that cares about their kids the way they want their kids to be cared about. He tells them in his experience, in his career, your sons and daughters, they will be loved and they will be cherished and they will be cared for and it will be a lifetime thing. And the parents are now saying, we don't see it right now. But he had more to say. It's worth talking about. I mean, he may be taken aback right now by the lack of trust that Americans appear to have in the services. But there's a perspective about how to get past that. Go ahead and play it.
Under their watch, a record number of American embassies have been forced to evacuate. And military recruitment has plunged. And confidence in the armed forces has reached a 20-year low. Under President Donald Trump, our enemies will know that American power is as decisive as it is overwhelming.
Strength and honor.
And if you provoke the United States of America, we will hurt you. And if you threaten citizens of the United States of America, we will hurt you for generations to come, so help me God. Donald Trump is a commander-in-chief that I am confident to tell parents is at the helm. Donald Trump loves America. He too has bled for the nation that he loves. May God bless America. May God bless our Gold Star families. Thank you for what you've given this country.
It's just amazing to watch. I mean, there's a guy who has given everything, has been awarded the highest level of citation for courage in combat, who has saved lives, who has no regrets, who speaks around the nation right now about his love for country and how much we need for the next generation to continue signing up to be a part of what it takes to protect and defend this country. And he says right now he's seeing less and less of that, but he also points out, he doesn't say, we have a problem in our culture. We won't be able to find kids because they don't exist anymore. There's fewer available. He doesn't say that. You know what the Biden administration says? Well, the recruiting pool is smaller because kids these days, it's not kids these days. I guarantee you. If you stand in front of them and say, I will get your back. You are our most precious resource. And we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And strength and honor is what you will be a part of. They will rush to sign up. I believe that. And parents will return to the idea of saying, sons, daughters, we can't afford to pay for your college education, but you can get a GI Bill. Sons, daughters, your father and grandfather served, maybe you should consider. Sons, daughters, this is something that we believe in too. And if you do it, we'll be proud. We'll be right there with you. More parents will say that if they believe that those at the top will have their kids' backs. Strength and honor. It's a thing, y'all. It's a thing. Now, listen, there were two other sets of speakers that we're going to go through. One of them was Congressman Michael Waltz. You may recall Congressman Waltz from Florida is the first Green Beret ever elected to Congress, combat veteran. He's an extremely sharp individual. He wrote a book called Warrior Diplomat, which it's a good read. Congressman Waltz spoke also. I'm not going to play his whole speech. Big Rig, we're going to it's audio clip number 3. You let me know thumbs up when you're ready on that one, but we're going to play a little bit of Congressman Waltz, and then the one that we're going to play to end this whole time with is is probably one of the most impassioned moments of the entire RNC so far. As a Gold Star mother stood up and talked about losing her Marine daughter-in-law, actually, at the Abbey Gate. Let's play Congressman Walz. Go ahead.
I am so honored. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bit of a thank yous.
Hello, Patriots. I am so honored to stand before you as a 27-year Army veteran and the first Green Beret ever elected to Congress. And I'm joined tonight by my beautiful wife, Julia, who, oh, by the way, has more combat tours than I do. Look, folks, we have deployed all over the Middle East, all over Africa, all over Afghanistan, and I have never in my lifetime seen the world falling apart like it is under Joe Biden. And that's because under President Trump, we had a president who defeated ISIS, broke Iran, stood with Israel, always stood with our allies, made China pay. You didn't see any spy balloons under President Trump, did you? He deterred Russia. You know what he told Putin? You try anything, and I'll take the tops off the Kremlin. And he didn't dare, did he? He did under Obama. He did under Biden, but not under Donald J. Trump. He defused North Korea. And importantly, he got our hostages home and didn't pay billions of dollars to get our Americans back.
Go ahead and wind it down there. So here's the thing. He's also, we had one right now that talked about encouraging and believing in the troops and backing them to the point that parents would say, I want my kids to join the military. It's a great idea. We had another one who had served in World War II who said, I was proud to be a part of the greatest generation. What an honor to be known as a part of the greatest generation of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And oh, by the way, I'm 98 years old, but if you called me, Mr. Trump, I would reenlist and go back on and storm the beaches again. Now you just heard Congressman Michael Walz, a combat veteran himself, the husband of a combat veteran, a member of Congress, who is pointing out that on the world stage, strength and honor actually means something. The things that he's talking about, some may say, what a war hawk he is. He's not being a war hawk. There's a thing called peace through strength, right? It's the idea that others won't mess with you if they see you as somebody who is willing to take the tops off their buildings. If they do, it means something when people recognize strength and honor. He talked about not only having the strength on the world stage, but having the honor to keep your promises to those like Israel and other allies who rely on us for stability. I'm telling you, folks, this has been a great couple of nights. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back from this break, though, I'm going to play you one more. And it was an emotional moment. A mom talking about the loss of her Marine at the Abbey Gate. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time.
All right, so I got several text messages, which I will be getting to soon. But let me do this. I don't want to run out of time because we got Butters and Lee coming up bottom of the hour. And the Butter Man just walked in the studio momentarily ago, so good to see you there, Butters. You doing all right?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, brother. Thank you.
Few things to talk about.
Huh? Maybe just a few. I mean, you know, low week for news, but hey. All right, we're going to go one more clip. I'm doing this thing. I'm calling it Strength and Honor. Last night was an amazing night at the RNC as a series of speakers gave us pretty much the rundown on the ideas that I'm talking about when I say strength and honor, about who we are as a people and where we've been and where we can go. But then there was a group last night that got on stage. There was an honoring service for the loss of the 13 service members at the Abbey Gate during the debacle of a pullout in Afghanistan. And one of those ladies spoke, And she was so good. And I thought, you know what? It's worth playing hers because we need to make sure that we're giving honor, like I said in my monologue. You got that clip for us, audio 4? All right, let's go ahead and play it.
Hello, America. I'm Christy Shamblin. My daughter-in-law, Sergeant Nicole Leanne G. was a United States Marine, and she was killed at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan alongside 12 of her brothers and sister-in-arms. While Joe Biden has refused to recognize their sacrifice, Donald Trump spent 6 hours in Bedminster with us. He allowed us to grieve. He allowed us to remember our heroes. Donald Trump knew all of our children's names. He knew their stories, and he spoke to us in a way that made us feel understood, like he knew our kids. Donald Trump carried the weight for a few hours with me. Yeah. And for the first time since Nicole's death, I felt I wasn't alone in my grief. I had expected to meet an arrogant politician. Instead, I met a man who had empathy for us. He was compassionate, and he spent time with us because he knew it would make us feel better. Thank you, President Trump.
It's an amazing thing to think about strength and honor. I said it in my monologue earlier, strength and honor, it's what America's been known for throughout its history. It's something that's right now missing in our current leadership. Strength on the world stage, people knowing who we are and what we say we're going to do, we're going to do. And then honor, which is sometimes how we carry ourselves. Honor is sometimes how we keep our promises to our friends and our allies. And honor sometimes is what we extend to others who are deserving of it. I think you heard all of that in those speeches today. I think you heard every bit of it. And that last one right there is the part of giving honor. What you just heard, for those who ever thought about, I don't want my kids to join, I don't trust the U.S. military anymore, remind yourselves of this. Leadership makes a difference. And a leader who will go and spend hours grieving with a family over the loss of their service member is a leader who is giving honor to those who have served and to those who have lost. She's not standing up there mad at her country. She's not standing up there with regret. She's talking about simply the leaders, one who didn't even acknowledge, except to look at his watch when their flag-draped coffins came off the plane, and the other who came and sat with her for hours and already knew her child's name and knew things about them and just visited for a bit. And y'all, that's giving honor. I'm going to tell you, strength and honor, that's what I want to hear and see more of in our country. And I know y'all do too. It's we've got to get back to the point that the question of whether to enlist in the military is simply one of logistics and not one of passion, right? I want to know for a fact that people look at it and go, oh, I'd do that. And if they don't, it's because the logistics of their life didn't match up with the moment, right? I get it. Not everybody's going to be in uniform, and I don't fault anybody for not. But I don't want it to be because they saw it as being a worthless proposition. Let it be because the logistics of their life, the timing, the physicalities, just the ability to join because of other life circumstances, let those things be the reason why not. Let's don't ever let it be because there's no strength and there's no honor in the service or in the rendering of honor to those who serve. I'm just telling you. I had 30 years of military service, and I have no regrets. I'm sitting in a room right now with other guys who served between Butters and Big Rig, and I've got family members on active duty now and those who served before us. And the reality is I have no regrets, but I get it. I get what's happening because the family members that I have on active duty now are, they're in what I would call the hollow army that we had back in the 70s. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm seeing a reawakening. I don't think that we are far away from seeing the 3-year timeout we've been over and a resurgence of strength and honor. Coming up next, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.